Good afternoon.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Good.
This is Tyler. I think I just got out of Ken's office. We were going over a couple things, and I think Trent was just getting ready to dial on as well, but
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm the first arrival.
So, what's on your mind?
Oh, for me, it's just continuing the process. I mean, a couple wins lately, so the pipeline's going to be getting thin, so keeping that full and chugging, and I've got a couple good, I've got a calendar full of meetings coming up, but just trying to stay on top of them.
Did the process of controlling the timeline help? Have you had a chance to use it?
Yeah, I mean, who did I meet with last week? I feel like I had one last week that I did and got a good follow-up meeting out of it. Or a time to call, I guess, if you will, just because I was kind of persistent
Good.
about it, about finding a specific time. So we'll see. You know, I don't think I've had the follow-up quite yet, but we'll see how well that works.
Well, this is Trent.
Trent, hey, Rob.
Hello, Rob. Sounds like Tyler's
How's it
on too.
Yeah, I'm
going?
here. All right.
We've got another referral coming in at 4 o'clock today, so that's working well. Or 4:30, actually.
Wow, nice. Where did it come from?
From a client that came in about a month ago. We had about a $2.3 million client that opened an account, and that's been transferring in. And he'd referred a friend to the firm that he was with previously. And just through the onboarding process, he recommended that his friends speak with us and take a look at what we have. So I have yet to speak with him, but I was out 2 days last week and he followed up, he's on a scheduled appointment. So we're going to go in with the blank goal map and with the team information, try to find out as much as we can and get the account in.
Great, great. Is that in person today?
Yes. Yep,
Oh, great.
4:30 today. He's coming in the office.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, so
Yep.
we're kind of our own worst critics on a lot of this, but we're up $45 million on assets year to date. And what do we have, three reporting households, Tyler?
Gosh, I think we have more than that.
Yeah.
I'm at four. You're going to be at two after this one.
Yeah.
And then I think that's at one or two.
Oh. Well, we're working out pretty well as far as new business anyway. And then continuing to work on our processes. Good timing as far as week 11 being a lot about accountability, team communication, business planning. That's where we are right now as far as trying to move to the next level with our team on overall functionality.
Good. Good, good. Yeah, I made some notes. What a good team leader does. I don't even remember, John Cosgrove.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember him from Tennessee? The West
Yeah.
Point graduate?
Right. Did he kind of look like Joe Petro a
No,
little bit? Did he
he's a big guy. Tall, dark-haired.
Oh, yeah. He's the one. What I learned from him, he came when we were at the AUL building when I first started. And his line was basically, the CMA is $120. Just tell people, a CMA is $120, right on the site to see, and that's a really good deal. And the reason it's a good deal is for these following 3 points. So he called me, just go straight at the fee and tell them what a good deal it is. Because of everything they're getting for that, rather than kind of meekly covering that at the end. Oh, by the way, we've got these fees we charge. That
He and
was
I.
for John Cosgrove back in 1993, I'm guessing.
Well, he ran Tennessee, or the western part of Tennessee. Rob Schaefer ran the eastern part. I'm sorry, he ran the eastern part and Rob ran the western part. Anyway, he was a West Point graduate. I think he was a Ranger. And he and I went and did Gettysburg together. And so we both ran out on July 4th. It was the morning of Pickett's Charge, and we ran from our hotel to the beginning of Pickett's Charge at dawn, and raced up Pickett's the field through its Pickett's Charge. reenactment by a couple of psychos. And the thing that was so crazy about it was the field was like it was then. And of course there's nobody guarding the field or anything. Nobody cares. And so we racing through this field just like they would have been, but the grass is up kind of to your waist. And so it was really hard to run through it. And I could imagine carrying a carbine, you know, what that would have been like. And in a hot summer day like we had, even if it's dawn, and you couldn't see anything until you almost were on top of them.
Wow.
It was all blind because there was a hill in front of where the northern troops were bivouac.
So they had the high ground.
Yeah, so you came up over the hill, and they would have hit you right in the face with a cannon, you know.
Wow.
It must have been just awful.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, so that's my memory of John Cosgrove, among other things.
There's a really good book about Gettysburg called The Killer Angel.
And
it's written as a book of fiction, historical fiction. It's very well done. They made it into a movie, too, Gettysburg.
Yeah, I loved it, yeah.
I've got a family that went over to Gettysburg, and I guess they do some sort of leadership training over there where you, like, learn about their management strategies and all that kind of stuff, and they really incorporate the whole historical side of it.
Hey.
Yeah, we did that, actually. It was a Merrill Lynch leadership team that did that. And
very cool.
It's quite impressive. We had a fabulous guide. I've been there a couple times since with a wonderful guides, and so it's very impressive. It's just an amazing moment in history. I went to the city of Wei in Vietnam, and that was sort of our Gettysburg for our generation, and so if you ever get a chance to go to Vietnam, go to Wei, and then kind of do your own, get a guide that will help you do the reenactment of the Battle of Wei. Because it's pretty amazing how the bravery and the amount, you know, because we actually won that war, even though it was a massive surprise in a city that had never been attacked ever, because it was a sacred, holy city.
Hmm.
And the Wei offensive, you know, was in October, was a dramatic shock to us and to the South. And even though we never lost any battles, it was kind of the turning point of our offensive in Vietnam. So it's an impressive moment in history.
Oh, yeah. I've read that we actually didn't really lose the Tet Offensive that badly. It was just that the PR battle was so bad that Walter Cronkite was showing video images of it. And the PR battle, they won the physical battle on the field.
Yeah, they did. I mean, Andy Edelman was there, and I was there with him, and he went through and showed me where he fought and everything, and he said, of course, we won the Tet Offensive in the city of Wei and the whole thing. But you're right, because it was being reported moment by moment. The American public had no appetite for a war like that was, you know, ending in body bags. So even though we won, it wasn't winning against an enemy that was visible. They just disappear, you know. So you couldn't take take the ground and you'd take the ground and keep it, but then the enemy would be gone. Then he'd reappear behind you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Anyway, enough of that. Leadership, though, we segue. This is a chapter on leadership. And the key in this case of what I find in most teams is the where supernova breaks down because people actually, you know, they can change their behavior in terms of servicing their existing clients, but they don't change their behavior in terms of making themselves uncomfortable with new acquisition strategies. So they dance around it, they talk about it, but they don't actually do it. And you guys can tell there how many people other than you are actually engaged in acquisition. Very few, right? If any.
Right.
I mean, I'm probably counting on the hand how many people you know about. I know of a couple teams that are really good at it and do it. And that's about it. You know, you got, and you can name them. You know, I don't know who they are today.
Kevin McMullen. He's always.
Kevin?
On.
Kevin's always prospecting.
It's just how he's wired.
Right.
Which is kind of like Tyler, actually. They share a lot of similarities with enjoying the cold calling game, enjoying the contact game.
Right.
And the process of prospecting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just, I'm worried eventually that my issue is going to be the servicing, because I enjoy the hunt and winning.
So that's what we have as a team.
Yeah.
That's what we've got as a team, is we just don't want to temper that at all.
Yeah.
And then Chris Brooke has traditionally been good at bringing in accounts. I don't think he's as aggressive now, though. I think he's more in a coasting it out mode. Carl has done a little bit of prospecting. Eric Hain basically does it through buying out books. He's a business. He's a business genius as far as how he's done it.
Who is that?
Eric Hain, Hain Mencius.
Yeah. But they did some, they prospected corporations with lending and things like that. So they were pretty smart about how they did things.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. It's not a very big group that's focused on prospecting.
No, it never was. You know, now that I'm in coaching business, I see it more clearly. Because, you know, I taught strategies on acquisition, but I just didn't have the clarity that I have today on it. It's interesting. That would be a really interesting conversation. What do I know today that I didn't know then? But anyway.
It's a matter of willing to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm trying new things, and then what I find is that people expect to be really good at it right away. Tyler, you're probably, you can, you know, people want to do what you do, but they don't want to put in the time and the effort. But there's also the skill set that comes with practicing and getting the right words and being interesting. And so the skill set of cold calling or the skill set of social prospecting or the skill set of asking for introductions, I mean, these are all skill sets that are just as difficult as learning a sport, like golf, or anything. So you need to have that kind of patient persistence in understanding the process so that you don't become frustrated and don't quit. So, Tyler, what do you think of that? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. You got to have the right mindset. And my thought was kind of embracing being really bad at it when you start and being able to laugh at it, because, I mean, it's like you said, it's like starting with golf. You're going to be pretty bad at cold calling or whatever it is you're doing when you first start doing it. But gutting it out and getting through that and marking small victories, I think, is really important.
It's good. It's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
which is kind of like the base camp idea, where instead of looking at the top of the mountain, you just try to identify that you try to make it to the next base camp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think you look at the contact as one base camp, the meeting is another base camp, the form signed are the next base camp.
Yeah, and it takes so long to build it out that I think it's a lot like Rob talked about in the video, where you just kind of count what you can control. And so it's tough, but you almost have to ignore flows when you first start getting on the prospecting train, because it takes so long to build it out that you got to build up such a backlog before you start seeing the flows.
Right. So that's why I like the idea of the game board being a game of activity. So you get credit every day that you made your calls. Even though, and we're not measuring the results on that game board, all we're measuring is activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you guys got a game board? Are you working with a game board?
We are not yet.
Well, understand that it's probably a half of 1% of the world that would ever work with a game board. Do you know why?
Because it puts your activities right on the board for everyone to see. Few of us want that accountability and transparency.
That's right. That's right. But, so you kind of have to come to grips with the fact that you actually want to get better. And you want to learn and you want to grow. And if you do, then the game board is the perfect tool to use to keep yourself on track and knowing, like Pilot said, that you are willing to laugh at yourself and to fail and because you're gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've had a couple others. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
It's like, how many times is
what did you do great at school today? You're almost going to ask him, you know, how did you fail today at school? You didn't fail, you probably didn't try that. You know, you didn't push yourself hard enough.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good action point. It will start our game board. We talked about that a few weeks ago, keeping score of the things that you can control, how many referrals, how many VIPSA, VIPSA conversations you go through, how many people did we get on the trial, how many meetings
you have. Right. Give yourself credit for your meetings with centers of influence. You know, as you're building your trusted, enthusiastically endorsed list, and trusted is the key word there. You can always have a group of enthusiastically endorsed professionals, but can you trust them with your best clients?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you refer to them, they're a car dealer, and you refer to them to buy a new Mercedes, you know you're going to get the best deal before you ever refer them. So you really have to look the guy in the eye and said, under no circumstances can you ever screw one of my clients.
Or else.
I mean, seriously. So then when you have that party, it's a holiday party and they're invited, they know that everybody in that group has sworn a pact that they will be a trusted advisor and never screw anybody that's referred to them. Hopefully they never screw anybody.
Right.
Human beings are human beings, right? So, but never my people. And just think how valuable that would be. You can actually trust people, and those people could trust you. And then you know that somebody that's been referred by your group to you through that, if they ever have a problem, you're going to fix it. probably to your own detriment, in order to keep that sacred bond with that group. So when people say, well, what does a mastermind group do? That's what it does. It creates that sacred group. I mean, I just can't tell you how valuable that would be. And I don't hear, you know, I hear some people doing it. But, you know, just like you said, 1 in 100, 1 in 1,000 mm-hmm. are doing it and doing it right.
Yeah, so those are two major things for us to work on, the mastermind group, the game board.
Yeah, and then building your centers of influence to create that enthusiastically, trusted, enthusiastically endorsed group. And so, Trent, you've got a huge advantage because of your social prospecting, your knowledge of the community, the people you are on boards with. You know people now, and you've interacted with them. You've been the trusted advisor. You've been the leader of Kiwanis. They know you. And so the probabilities of you finding a group just out of the Kiwanis group, probably pretty high.
Right.
That you could form a mastermind group.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be friends, and they'd be people you could trust. And they'd be confident. And they'd probably be working in the same circle.
Right.
But that doesn't, building a group like that, by its nature, probably will take you 3 years to build it properly.
Which is why people don't do it.
Right. I mean, how long did it take you to build your social networking? Till it was proper.
Probably 10 years.
10 years, right. And so, 3 years, what's that? But how long would it last and how much would it generate?
Yeah.
It would last your whole career. And it would generate at least 1 to 3 new relationships every year.
Okay. Which is what we're after.
You can.
5 to 10 is good.
Right. 1 a month is really what you're after. That meet your minimums, that are ideal clients.
Absolutely. So with your, it's nice that we record these calls. Could you go through the VIPSA script again?
Sure.
Of how you speak through it. I'm going to have to jump off about a little right at 2:32. I'm going to call the family office here.
Okay.
Tyler, go on from there, too.
All right, so it's value, importance, suggestion, permission, advice. We talked about it the last time, how important the advice piece is.
Yeah.
The value question is really a great question, and you can ask it all the time after every call, or once a year when you're meeting in person, or twice a year. And what I suggest you say is, Trent, you know, this has been wonderful meeting with you and doing your annual review. What I'd like to do is ask you a question. What are the 3 things that you valued the most from your experience in working with our team this year? You'd answer. And then I'd ask, just so we can have some feedback that's constructive to the team, are there a couple things that you can think of that we could be doing better? And then just pause and let them answer. And then say, you know, I'm going to give this information to my team, so I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. We have a few minutes left. With your permission, what I'd like to do is to ask you a question. Is that okay? Yes?
Good.
The question is, would you be willing to do some brainstorming on who else would value these services as much as you have? And what we're after is someone like yourself that you think would be a good fit for us. Would you be willing to do that? Sure, yeah. Well, we can do it either now, or we can do it you know, a couple of weeks from now. What would be best for you? Well, I'd like some time to think about it. So why don't we do it in a couple of weeks? Great. Or, no, that would be great. You know, I think that'd be great. What do you have in mind? Okay, so you really got permission then to move ahead. So I have one guy that does it, you know, a week or two from now. And so what he does is he kind of outlines it. So let's say it was going to be 2 weeks from now or a week from now. I say, okay, so this is what I want you to be thinking about over the next couple of weeks. Think of it as concentric circles. And then the inside circle are the people that you know the best. These are your closest friends, your family. These are people that you know would really value what it is that we do. Because you know them really well. All right, so let's bring the circle out a little bit, and now this is people that you, your friends, associates at work, people you play golf with, people you invite over to the house for a party, that kind of friends that you say, this is a good guy. This is somebody you really like. And then the final circle is a larger circle where you say, knowing what we do and how we do it, this guy might be a game changer for you. He's really, if you could, you know, do business with him, it would be very good for you. Okay? Do you understand? Yes. Okay. Let's start with the inner circle. Okay? This is friends and family. Just so we don't miss anybody, let's go through your parents, your brothers, your sisters, any cousins, or anybody like that. And then just shut up and let them go through. And I say, nope, none of them have any money. Okay. All right, let's go to your closest friends and people that you know. You think that, you know, maybe they're not as happy as they should be. Maybe you don't think they're managing their money, or you just hear from them that they're kind of dissatisfied. And then you probably get one right there. Okay. But you give them a little bit of something to think about. Because I have friends that, you know, talk about the market, but boy, when they tell me what they're doing, it's crazy, right? they're just doing a terrible job. And I can't tell them they're doing a terrible job, but I know they are. And if they had a team like your team, they'd do a lot better. So everybody knows those people. So then, so we go through. That's the group where you're going to get the most hits in the second group. It's friends, family, people you play golf with, associates at work, and so forth. The third group, you can suggest people like your boss, for example. And the more you suggest, the easier it is for them. Rather than making it an essay, you make it kind of multiple choice. So you give them a lot of suggestions. Your boss, people you know from the club, people that are, you know, philanthropists, people that give a lot of money to the church and to other organizations you're involved with. You're friends, but, you know, you don't know them that well. So there we're looking really for names. These are big fish, potential whales. Okay.
So we would come up with that list by seeing who they're connected with on LinkedIn, who's a member of the club.
Well, we wouldn't worry. Right now with this, we're just trying to get the names, right?
Just brainstorming now.
Yeah, we're still just brainstorming, okay? So now once we're done brainstorming, okay, that's it. So we now have one person from the family. We have four people from the inner circle, the next circle, and we have three names from the outer circle. Okay, so we've got a total of whatever that is, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what we got, this is where you really do need to help. Say, okay, here's our list. Who would you suggest would need our services the most, the one that is the most urgent among this group? And this is where it's always a surprise. not always, but often it's a big surprise. You think it's going to be the brother, and they go, oh, no, no, it's this guy. He's just retiring. He doesn't have a clue what he's doing, and he needs you now, immediately. Okay? And say, okay, let's focus on him with a few minutes we have left. Tell me about him. How do you know him? Where did you meet? You know, et cetera. So you want to know, this guy knows a lot about this person. You want to know everything you can at this point. Right? So you find out as much as you can about him, right there, quick, quick. And then you say, hey, clearly, you know, this person a whole lot better than I ever will. How would you suggest that we meet? Not, you know, how should, you know, I'd love an introduction, or that, you know, I hope, you know, give him my phone number, I hope he calls me. None of that. It's, how would you suggest that we meet?
Yeah.
It's really important, because that we screw it up right there. Let's get a phone number, or they, we'll take care of it, we'll give them your phone number, and he'll call you. Yeah, right. About 30 years. Okay. So we never get past this point. So how would you suggest that we meet? And the guy goes, oh, I don't know. He doesn't have a clue. Say, okay, where does he live? He lives next door to me. Okay. When do you see him? I see him at the club every weekend. Okay. So you'll probably see him this weekend, right? Yeah. Okay. So why don't we do this? Why don't, today is timeline. Again, today is Monday. You're going to see him this weekend, Saturday, right? Okay. Why don't we do it this way? If I don't hear from you on Monday, I will call or email you. Now, how would you suggest that we meet them? Okay, and he says, well, why don't we have coffee? Or why don't we meet Saturday at the club? Or why don't you come over and have lunch after golf and I'll introduce you. Okay. Okay. So now, why don't we play golf? You know, great. Okay. So that takes care of, you know, he's going to set it all up, you're set. If he can't, or the person's out of town, then do a phone introduction. The phone introduction goes like this. Today's Monday. Why don't we have the call same time next Monday, 2:00? How would that work? Good. Okay, I'll do a three-way phone conversation. You just introduce me and then you step off the line. Great. All right, so Friday I'll send you an email with the phone number, or even tomorrow. And you give it to him, forward it to him, and then he calls in, and we'll do the call Monday at 2:00. If I don't hear from you by Monday morning or Friday afternoon, I'll email you or call you. How's that? Good. Okay. Now he's still in control, see?
Right. Yeah, you're not putting extra work on them. You're leaving them alone.
No.
Like you said, it's multiple choice, it's not essay. It's not open-ended.
You can even say that, just so it's easy for you and you don't have to worry about this thing. You know, I'll send the email, you know, I'll make it as easy as it can for you so you don't have to worry about forgetting about it. I'll be on you.
Oh, I like it. Oh, that's great. So I'm going to jump off here. I'm going to let two of you take it from here.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
So, thanks, Trent. See ya.
Okay.
So, Tyler, one of the things you can do is you can actually then, you know, the guy says, just give me a couple of weeks and we can brainstorm. You call him back in 2 weeks and start over again. And now he's prepared. He probably has his list.
Yep. That's something you need a lot better about as well.
Northwestern Mutual Life had their people cold call for one day. And the rest of the time, it was introductions from the people that they got on their first day. They never cold called again.
That's crazy to me.
Except If you get really good at introductions, you never have to cold call again.
That's true. I don't know. I think it's still, I could see it always being a piece of the puzzle for me.
Of course, because you like it. Just mentally you packaged it in your own brain as a safe, successful way to work. Okay?
Yeah.
Is that you're like one in a thousand.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely not the most, I don't want to say not efficient, but it takes more of them to land.
It takes many, many more to land, so it's probably the most inefficient.
Yeah, but I thought I can get more up in a short time frame, I guess.
What you can get is you're doing it without any personal, in your mind, you're getting no rejection from it.
Yeah.
Okay? When you ask for introductions, you're setting yourself up for you personally feeling rejected. Hence, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, I think part of my issue, too, is just I don't feel like, for whatever reason, I've had my clients long enough to ask.
You don't feel like you've earned it.
Yeah.
Which is one or the other. It's just an excuse like people have about not cold calling.
Yeah.
They make up their excuses as to why cold calling won't work for them or they don't want to do it. And you're making up your excuses as to why you won't want to ask for introductions.
Yeah.
They're all just excuses. They're not valid, by the way.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I leverage golf in the summer a lot for introductions, but I think I could also just be better about just outright asking for people that need us.
When do you think is the best time to ask for an introduction?
You know, I've heard this before, right when you're onboarding someone.
Right. Didn't I tell you that? When did you?
Yeah. I think you told me that because you haven't screwed me up.
Right. And when were you the happiest with your car?
Yeah.
The first day or a year from then?
Yeah. Right when I drove home with it.
Right. Even though you haven't owned it, you've never really driven it, you don't even know if it's reliable, but it's new. And here's the psychology of why that is when you're the happiest with it. Because you want to be right. Okay?
Yeah.
It's new. That's a big part of it, but you also want to be right. That's why you're willing to introduce somebody the first time you open an account with Merrill Lynch. Because if the other person says, yes, I want to open up an account also, it makes you more right.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect time for me.
Hence, they're very anxious to introduce you to their friends because they want to be right. And when the other guy opens an account, they'll go, see, I was right. He is great. And so the new guy goes, yes, you were right. And he is great. And I'm going to introduce him to my friends.
Yeah.
Therefore, he's right. And so you get this whole, see what I mean?
Yeah, that's perfect. I've got a meeting tomorrow morning with a guy that I'm onboarding, and I'm going to ask to introduce me to his business partner.
Absolutely. And do it with a complete commitment that you need to meet it. Okay? And he'll be, I'm telling you, this psychology is huge. If people don't really take advantage of it.
Yeah, he loves me right now because I told him he'd never heard of an HSA before.
And so
that's how we won the account. I guess his wife has to get surgery this year. Nobody's ever mentioned an HSA to him. So he thinks we're geniuses still. Until he finds out he's talking to some kid from Evansville.
No, you're not some kid. Don't do that. That's like, you know, these golfers thinking they're not good enough to win.
Yeah.
You got to believe you're good enough to win all the time. So never practice negative talk to yourself.
Yeah, that's somewhere I can definitely do better.
See, because what you did, you just made a joke out of yourself. And that's not a joke. It's not funny. So no more jokes about yourself. No more negative talk.
Yeah, I think I definitely benefit from that.
I see it all the time. People reinforcing their own bad self-image of themselves. Almost wanting somebody to agree with them. That their bad self-image is valid. But I'm not good enough, smart enough, tall enough, cute enough, brave enough. And you must agree with that, right? And then somebody does, and they go, oh, see, I was right. I'm not smart enough, good enough, brave enough.
Yeah.
Therefore, if I fail, it's not my fault. See? Life was stacked against me. Because I'm not good enough, brave enough. Because I'm from heaven.
Hmm.
See?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. Nobody judges. All they want to do is be right.
Yeah.
So you be the person they let's just think about it, right? Be the person they want you to be.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's that. That's 99% of it.
You learn a lot from sports, okay? And once you get to have a good golf swing and you have the distance and you have all that, then it becomes 100% mental.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what Patrick Reed did, just tenacious bulldog, chip on his shoulder, framed it so that he never lost his concentration for 4 days.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Incredible. Incredible. And so that's what you need to do. You need to be master of the universe. You've got to believe you're the best in the world and that you're going to conquer the world. I miss the competition a lot. Because
yeah.
I love proving that I can concentrate better for longer than anybody else. But it, you know, it goes back to your childhood and, you know, the fact that you had to overcome stuff and you did and then you did better and then you overcame more and then you did better and then you overcame more. And so you miss that action.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's why you like cold calling. It's a game.
Yeah, it's a bulldog.
It's action, right? So then you have to become the same with introductions. Get really, really good at it. Then, once you get the skill set and the words, then it's just a matter of mindset.
Yeah. So I'll probably practice this a lot tonight then, just so I nail it tomorrow.
Good. Because it's just mindset. It's just having that top mind to force yourself to use the words, practice the words, execute and be tenacious and not care if it doesn't work. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said. Enjoy the fact that it didn't work. Enjoy the fact you get beat up. Enjoy the fact that you hit it in the bunker. Awesome. Chance to get it back.
Yeah. I think a lot of times too, it's the feeling of if I ask for an introduction and they say no, it's going to turn out bad. And I don't know if that's the case. You know, it's just a no.
It won't be just a no. It won't be a no. It'll be, I can't think of anybody now. And the reason is because you didn't frame it for them. You made it a yes or no question. You notice that I never made it a yes or no question.
Yeah.
And I never made it an ask. All I made it was a brainstorming session.
Mm-hmm.
So if he agrees to the brainstorming session, I'm going to get probably up to 10 minutes. If he says, no, I don't want to brainstorm, you go fine. Sometime later, when we have more time. Great. You haven't lost anything. Guy doesn't want to brainstorm. Good. Yeah, brainstorm with the next person. You can come up with answers to that, but the reality is, fine, if a guy doesn't want to brainstorm, good. He has no curiosity. Somebody asked me to brainstorm, at least I'd want to know what was brainstorming about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're not really asking for an introduction, are you?
No, I mean, and he's mentioned his business partner to me before. When we first met, you know, he mentioned his business partner's a lot better off than he is, and younger, and makes, I don't know. So, I mean, I can just even go about it that way. It's someone that he's mentioned before.
You know, keep in mind that you can help him. So one of the things to ask is, how can I help you? How can I help you support this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's an introduction that you can make for him. Somebody that he'd like to meet. You know, they're always looking to hire people. They're always looking to get a new CPA. They're always looking for something. So you can always be asking, now, how can I help? What are you looking for now? So one of the things, we changed the name of the game board to the giving board. And you can see why. Because if our focus is on giving, we cannot lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
You see? So you can say, okay, who won this week on the giving board? I did. I gave 4 referrals. I met with 4 centers of influence and I had an introduction for each one of them. So I did my job. Now on Friday, you can turn around and say, okay, how did marketing go this week? You say, you know what? Interestingly enough, I gave 4 introductions and by the way, I got 4 introductions. But in the giving meeting and the giving board, we don't ask for what we got. All we ask for is what did we get?
Yeah.
You see? Then nobody can lose. Did you have your meeting? Yes, you did. Did you make the call? Yes, I made 100 calls a day. Yes, you did. Did you go to your meeting? Did you have your activity? If you have the activity, you won. If you go to your Columbus meeting, yes, you win. Congratulations. You see, if we get the activity right, we'll get the results.
Yeah, and that's something I've always really focused on for myself, but I think that's something I can focus on for the team as well.
That's right, because the team is worried about results.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they don't engage in the activity. So they don't meet with the center of influence because they don't want to ask for an introduction. Well, that's the wrong way to look at it. You're not asking for an introduction. You're giving an introduction. You see?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have centers of influence out there, but I just need to be more intentional with them as well. You know, I think I rely too much on just cold calling as opposed to a little bit of it all.
Well, if I'm a wealthy person, am I going to do business with you because you cold call me? Or because my CPA tells me that this is the best guy in the community?
Yeah, exactly.
And my rich friends tell me this is the best guy to do business with.
Mm-hmm.
Introductions. That's where 95% of the wealthy people... Nobody walks in, nobody... No. Now, you're going to get some business because people like you and they trust you and you cold call them and you're persistent. But the reality is, playing the odds are with me, who's going to be using centers of influence, mastermind group, and other networking tools.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And just remember, your reasons for not doing those things are all excuses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, just... And you can be a great leader for this team by helping them to overcome their fears. And they can be a huge help for you because they provide the credibility of a real team delivering real top of the line product and service. See? So you are the best already.
Yeah.
You get that advantage of being where you are is that your credibility is real.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I can go in, especially the bigger meetings, with a lot more confidence knowing the team I bring behind me. That's tremendous.
Yeah. Okay, so go and scare the hell out of yourself, okay? Go do some things that you're very uncomfortable doing. And practice and practice and practice. Listen to this audio once a day for 5 days. Watch the video, watch the day for 5 days. Just keep listening to it, listening to it, listening to it. And then go do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, golfers never get any better, right? People particularly my age. And why? Because they don't try anything new. They don't listen to the coach. They don't listen to their pro. The pro gives them a lesson they don't practice. They go out and they do what they always did. I get better at 72 in golf because I take lessons, I go practice, I then try it out, and I go practice, and I take another lesson, and I practice. That's how you get better.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I know that.
And there's no age limit on that. And there's no age limit on reluctance to change or desire to change. So, these are great tools, but they're going to be still in the toolbox unless you take them out and use them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use them, guess what? The others in your team will be more comfortable using them. So you be the hero and go and slay the dragon first.
I like it.
Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm kind of the head of the business development side of things, so absolutely. I think I can take the reins on that.
All right, my friend.
Awesome. Well, I got some work. I'll update you next week on how it goes.
Okay, Tyler. Thanks. Have fun with it.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
You're welcome. My pleasure.